Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards, Saturday evening, April 28th, coming to you live tonight from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Tennessee, going out to AM FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And another great hour with Keith Alexander, as it always is. The next 2 hours of the show, it will be my duty to try and match the kind of program you've heard so far tonight. Not an easy task at all when you're flying solo, but thankfully we have got just a plethora of very interesting news stories, if I do say so myself. Very interesting week on the website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, over the course of the last 7 days. And if I could make a momentary departure, it is absolutely broiling here in the studio. I don't know if Keith turned the heater on in the lobby on his way out or what, but I'm about to cook in this thing. So when we get to the next commercial break, I'm going to skip on down the hall and fix that. But anyway, we're used to it here in the South. It just gets hot down here, and it hadn't gotten that hot yet, but it's coming. Somebody that would know a little bit about that, maybe someone from Alabama, a very loyal and faithful listener and supporter of the show. We do have a caller on the line from Alabama. Alabama, you are on the air.
Hi, James.
Hey, well, thanks for stepping up to the plate and calling in tonight. You know, the chat is down. I guess I should make that announcement again, or announce it one more time. The caller who's on the line here is a regular participant in our online chat, which is down tonight due to technical difficulties, so stay tuned as we get that fixed, hopefully in time for next week. But anyway, making the plunge here onto the live radio airwaves tonight, to what do I owe the honor?
Thank you. Yes, I'm always honored to be allowed to talk on your show. But I did hear that y'all were having a hard time finding a traditional version of Dixie on YouTube.
That's right.
And I just wanted to make sure the link you got in my email that it works okay for you and everything. I'm sorry that I can't copy the link directly into the email since I'm using a tablet.
Oh. You know, I'm glad. I'm actually glad that you called in. Yeah, we're doing a little troubleshooting here live in front of the nation. But I am sifting through the emails that have come in during the show, and I see yours here. And I got your email, but I do not have a link in there.
Yes, because I'm unable to. I haven't figured out how to do that on my tablet yet.
Well, if you can somehow copy and paste the URL, you could have emailed it already. I don't know how we're going to work through this, but I trust over the course of the next 45 minutes, you and your Southern brilliance will find out a way to get it to me.
Okay, I know that if you go to YouTube and type in, I wish I was in Dixieland, not Dixieland, but I wish I was in Dixieland, it should take you directly to the song.
All right, well, I will work on that in the meantime, and ladies and gentlemen, of course, this is the very famous, as far as Political Cesspool listeners are concerned, Courtney from Alabama, fixture in the chat room and on the Political Cesspool blog. Calling him now, coming to my rescue as I ask for a good version of Dixie to play at the conclusion of tonight's broadcast as we wrap up Confederate History Month 2012. And I know, Courtney, you are a big fan of our annual series to Confederate History Month, and I appreciate you lending a hand and getting us this song tonight.
No problem. I know they're trying to make it more difficult to open that song on there because it's considered offensive.
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad you brought that up, actually. And, just to say, I mean, you can get any number of vulgar and lewd rap songs on there, no problem whatsoever. But on more than one occasion during my search this month for Confederate-themed songs, I had to sign in and prove I was over 21 years of age and old enough to you know, view the offensive material, the reciting of Dixie, the Southern National Anthem on YouTube. I mean, you know, of course, That would be flagged as offensive in this degenerate day and age. And I meant to bring that up, Courtney, actually, a few weeks ago, because I saw that. And that's, you know, the first time I've been doing this for 8 years, you know, the show, and we do the Confederate History Month every April. First time in 8 years I've ever run into that particular roadblock, and you triggered my memory by saying it just there. So apparently I'm not the only one. And anyway, thanks for the call, and hopefully I'll be able to find the song you tried to send me, and thanks for the other folks who have sent in songs as well. We might try to play a couple of songs here during the third hour tonight, so you never know. Shifting back to the topics at hand, and I said, I'm going to do my best to get in all of this during the second hour tonight, so hold on. I'm about to run the audience like dogs. We're all going to be crossing the finish line at the end of this hour with our tongues wagging. But 18-year-old London waitress has just been deemed to have the world's perfect face, scientifically perfect face. And if you look at her picture, you'd be hard to argue with this report. And you can see it for yourself at thepoliticalcesspool.org, from one blonde Courtney in Alabama to another here, Miss Florence Colgate of London, England. And this is the scoop. For centuries, people have pondered over the perfect face, and a teenage student seems to be simply the blessed one. Florence Colgate's face matches an international blueprint for the optimum ratio between eyes, mouth, forehead, and chin, endowing her with flawless proportions. In theory, that needn't necessarily cause her to appear anything more than symmetrical, but the blue-eyed blonde's mathematical dimensions have just added up to success in a competition to find Britain's most naturally beautiful face. The 18-year-old, who has a weekend job in a seaside chip shop. Now, see, over there in the UK, they call potato chips, or excuse me, French fries, they call them chips. Fish and chips. Well, she's a student. She works on the weekends at a fish and chips shop, if you will. She beat out 8,000 entrants to win this title of the scientifically perfect face. It is the scientific definition of beauty, not to mention a healthy portion of beauty genes from her mother, which got Florence the crown. And the article continues on for some time explaining how they wanted women who were proud of their natural looks without makeup. They say that this woman, this 18-year-old waitress, has all the classic signs of beauty: large eyes, high cheekbones, full lips, and a fair complexion. Symmetry appears to be a very important cue to attractiveness. Anyway, her name is Florence Colgate. A waitress, a complete unknown. The scientifically perfect face, according to blueprints, international blueprints, they say. Check her out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And to say the least, I would say that Florence is certainly the product of countless generations of racial integrity, which was a precious gift that was bestowed upon her by her ancestors, and it's one that I hope that she protects. I certainly hope that she will protect that natural heritage. In the meantime, here in Fantasyland, I mean America, this week, Beyonce, singer Beyonce, was touted as the world's most beautiful woman by People magazine. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
America has lost her way, lost her mooring, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked, as settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up. America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
When the truth is found, welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right. Again, welcome back. Finishing up my commentary on the previous story. I was about to finish it up before the commercial break, but to no surprise, an article entitled 18-year-old London waitress said to have scientifically perfect face has been one of our top articles this week at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'm sure it didn't hurt that we included the picture there. And of course, it's obvious, and I should say this only because it's true, but the only reason, you know, Florence, I'm fawning over this story, it may appear, but it still should be said that the only reason this woman won the competition was because my wife wasn't a participant, and had my wife been a participant in this contest, Florence would have probably finished second. But that's being said, still worth a look at for all you single men out there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Another inspirational story that was sent to me by one of our fans in Arkansas this week. It's a video entitled Walking on Air. And it's a video, it's a four-minute video, again, featured at our website this week, thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's a video that features a series of time-lapse sequences photographed by the Expedition 30 crew aboard the International Space Station. It's set to just moving music, inspirational music, and again, it's a series of shots, a series of clips taken from the space station of the world. You see stars over the southern United States. You see a panorama from space of the United Kingdom to the Baltic Sea, the northern United States to eastern Canada. Comets. You see the United Kingdom to central Europe at night and how it just lights up. As I watched this video, you know, I couldn't help but think of all that Western man has accomplished. I think about where we've been and where we're going. And someone left a pretty profound comment at the bottom of this article. And it says, James, just remember that every dollar we spend, every dollar we don't spend on advanced education programs and initiatives for smart European Americans in order to spend on illiterate third worlders to learn how to read will result in fewer videos like this and more instances like that of Trayvon Martin. And certainly that's true. You know, ever since the mid-60s, there's certainly been a decline in America's reach for the stars ever since we began to reallocate our resources to trying to bring the entire world up to the standards of the West. Western productivity and ingenuity has been stifled to an extent. We don't reach for the stars anymore. And there's no coincidence that America's space program started to take a precipitous decline at the same time we started reallocating all of this money to the egalitarian projects. If we continue to import the third world, America will more resemble a third world country than the country that we looked like in the 50s and 60s. And certainly still, you know, we can still do these kinds of things, but it's not the people coming in from the third world that are doing these kinds of things. It doesn't mean that you hate them or even dislike them. I don't hate anybody. I have a love for humanity, although I love my own family and my extended family just a little bit more than I do strangers. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, plain and simply, as I've always said, and I've said it on CNN, and I've said it on this show countless times, you know what I'm about to say. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population. And I'm going to pare this down to its lowest common denominator. I live in a home. I own my home. I like doing things my way in my home. I like the things we eat. I like the songs we sing. I like the way we celebrate the holidays in my home with my family. I like the fact that I have a fence that protects my property. And just because I enjoy these things and I appreciate these things and I respect these things, it doesn't mean that I hate any of my neighbors. In fact, I get along with all of my neighbors. But I don't want all of my neighbors living in my house and telling me what we're going to eat and what we're going to watch and what we're going to celebrate and what's right and what's wrong. Now, if you extrapolate that out and you turn your private home into your nation, and it's still the same basic concept. When America was basically, in as late as the 60s, we were 90% plus European American, we had a common culture, a common bond, common heroes, common religion, common everything. We were moving forward. We were chasing the stars. We were accomplishing things and doing things and creating things that had never been done before. And I feel as though a lot of that has been stymied. A lot of that has been stalled. As we seek to bring the rest of the globe up to our standards, it's a goal, an unattainable goal. It cannot be done. Now, again, I love my neighbors. I don't want them all to live with me. I have no ill will towards anyone in sub-Saharan Africa or South America or Asia. Eddie the Bombardier said, or South Memphis for that matter. But the fact of the matter is, not everybody in the neighborhood can live in my house. Not everybody in the world can live in my country. And when you begin to have this overflowing Tower of Babel, it always ends badly. If we're going to behave like the new Rome, we're going to pay the price that Rome paid. And anyway, I'll step off my soapbox and just encourage you to watch this video entitled Walking on Air. Again, a series of time-lapse sequences photographed from space, from the International Space Station. As I watched it, set to moving music, I couldn't help again but think of all that Western man has accomplished. I think about where we've been and where we're going, and where we're going doesn't look good. And it's our duty to change it at the expense of my earning potential and my ability to get a decent job and many other sacrifices. And I'm not saying, oh, woe is me. I have a great life and I'm proud to be able to do what I do. But I'm trying to do my part here on the radio because I believe this is where I can best apply myself in this struggle for common sense. I think at the end of the day, people ask what this show stands for. It's basically common sense. Do what you can to preserve and protect a culture and a people and a heritage that is far better than any one of us. And when you watch this video from space, I don't know. Hopefully you'll reflect in some way the way that I have reflected when I watched it, and that was basically my what I took from it. Now, speaking of videos, we also have another video sent in from another fan of the show entitled, If I Wanted America to Fail. If I Wanted America to Fail. It's another good video, certainly not as inspirational or as moving as that video from space. But in honor of the recently passed so-called, quote-unquote, Earth Day, we have a video that contains a candid message about energy that needs to be shown to all of the radical environmental extremists. It's very, very powerful. I hope you'll watch it. Again, that and so much more featured at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. I told you the website's been hopping, ladies and gentlemen. It's all right there. And what's more that's been posted this week, we're going to cover when we come back from this commercial break. But those two videos I definitely want you to watch. Walking on Air, If I Wanted America to Fail. Two videos. Watch them. And while you're there, don't forget, you can check out the 18-year-old waitress who was said, and Eddie might not know this story, to have a scientifically perfect face. Eddie has not been to the cesspool site. I can tell by the look in his eyes. Eddie, tell me what you think about this right there. Scientifically perfect face, they say.
I would say she's a 10.
There you go. So
like there's a park today, but unfortunately she was not with another 10.
I understand. Well, anyway, folks, you can check it out. When we come back, blacks have sued ABC over The Bachelor. White man critically beaten by a mob of diversity. George Zimmerman gets grilled by the prosecution. And much more. Stay tuned. It's all coming your way on TPC.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number 3, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Got to quickly boogie through these stories because I've got more than I can cover, and we have a limited amount of time before we shift gears to Confederate History Month for the final time this year, the last show of April. Yeah, Eddie and I are both sharing lamentations here. ABC being sued because blacks feel as though they are being disenfranchised from the popular dating show. And just a, what do they say here? If you have a conflict of interest, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Full disclosure, I think that's what they say. My wife and I actually watch The Bachelor every week. We watch The Bachelor. Back 10 years ago when we were just dating, we started watching it, and now it's just something we do. It's just one of our little things. Anyway, The Bachelor. You know The Bachelor. And The Bachelorette, it's a show. They have The Bachelor and then The Bachelorette, a season of each every year. And on The Bachelor, it's a group of a number of single females trying to win the affections of The Bachelor. And, of course, The Bachelorette is the exact opposite of that. It's a group of single men trying to win the heart of the young lady. And so what we've got here is that two black people might be able to change the entire existence of this very popular show, which you just got ratings through the roof. But they're upset because there's never been a black bachelor. Now, they're not upset that they have BET. Eddie's got a solution. I'm afraid to go there, but quickly.
Well, you know, James, we have, as everybody knows, we have Black History Month. We could have a certain week of the month or a certain, you know, 1 week out of the month where we could have all black bachelors and all black bachelorettes.
Nate?
Do you know what I mean? No whites on there.
Kinda. See,
in other words, the bachelors will be vying for the heart of the black maidens. No whites.
All right, there you go. I see where you're going. There you go. Well, see, why doesn't BET come up with the black spinoff of this? But anyway, what I'm saying is, apparently they've got to have it all. They've got to have a hand in everything. And two malcontents, literally two people have complained in 16 years of The Bachelor. And now there's this big lawsuit, and ABC is just, petrified. They said, well, last season The Bachelorette was 1/16th Cherokee Indian. I mean, does that not count? I mean, they're literally saying this stuff because, you know, they're so afraid of being called a racist. But, I mean, you know, whatever the case, the fact of the matter is, white people aren't going to watch a show like that. I mean, most white people still aren't keen to interracial marriage, and for simply logical reasons. I mean, doesn't have anything to do with hatred, but it has everything to do with you wanting your son or your daughter to marry someone and give you grandkids that will respect your traditions and your culture and your heroes and your religion and so on and so forth. But anyway, you go, and we've got this video of the one of the most recent couplings there on The Bachelor, and you're not going to see couples like that anymore if these malcontents get their way. Apparently, there isn't anything that isn't racist in today's America. To hear the mainstream media tell it, racism is far more alive and well today in the age of affirmative action, quotas, and set-asides than it ever was during the so-called Jim Crow era. But as I said, Americans just truly don't want to watch a show like these malcontents want to give them. And therefore, to their credit, producers of The Bachelor are sticking, or at least have so far, been sticking to a formula that works. There's already a lot of diversity and formulaic trash in TV movies, but that's for propaganda, not profits. When a TV producer or movie producer really wants to make sure a show or movie will work, they keep it like this. That, of course, won't absolve The Bachelor from constant accusations of racism. But, you know, I wonder, of these people who are complaining here about this show, I wonder if they've ever complained about the lack of diversity in some of the Tyler Perry movies. Tyler Perry, a black man who dresses up in drag and plays the character Medea, all of his movies are 100% black, but they're not suffering the same attack. So remember, kids, The Bachelor, with its all-white cast, is racist. Tyler Perry movies, with its all-black casts, are wonderful examples of diversity. Go figure.
Soul
Same, yes, all straight, Eddie said. All right, got to keep moving, got to keep moving. Oh, here's a good one. You know, talking about diversity, and this is the kind of diversity we need. Another video, I tell you, we're heavy on videos this week, but they've all been very poignant and striking, in some in better ways than others. Got this video documentary. A documentary film crew team went to the Congo in Central Africa, and they interviewed some of these Congolese soldiers, and they asked them why they rape so much. And, you know, here in America, black on white rape, 36,000 instances per year to 10 or less white on black rapes, as the Justice Department figures tell us, as Keith Alexander alluded to in the first hour. But anyway, you got to watch this video. I mean, don't take my word for it. Don't take my word for it. See what they say for themselves. And you've got these black soldiers in the Congo, and it says that they rape women whenever they come onto a village, when they're out in the bush and they're walking around and they're doing their patrols, and they come on a village. They rape all the women there because their religion tells them that it gives them power, and they will be more likely to succeed in battle. The more women they rape, the more magical powers that they'll have. Unfortunately, what's even more disturbing is that this trend doesn't seem to stop once they are introduced to first world nations, even after centuries of assimilation. But check it out, folks. It's a 4-minute video done by a colorblind film crew. And it's just these people talking in their own words. It's very instructive, very informative. It's sad, but this is the way it is. And because this is the way it is, why am I a racist for saying, you know what? God bless these people. I hope they find God. I hope they better themselves. I hope they get out of that kind of practice. But maybe I don't want them living next to me. Maybe I don't want them being in my community. Maybe I want to keep them at an arm's length. Maybe, just maybe, there's a reason why I would want to do that. It doesn't stem from some irrational hatred, but just because it just makes good sense. You got people who believe that raping women will give them magic powers, and they're asking these soldiers, well, how many women have you raped? And none of them can remember. It's just so many, it's countless. Watch it. Watch it. This isn't a parody. This isn't a movie. This is real life. This isn't The Bachelor we're talking about. This is real life, okay? And this is common practice in Africa. So why would we want these people coming over here? I don't know. Answer the question for yourself, if you can, if you're honest. You know, why does Hillary Clinton live in a gated community? You get where I'm going with this. Anyway. All right. Well, here's a case. You know, this isn't rape, but it's not much better. A white man in Alabama who had absolutely nothing to do with the George Zimmerman Trayvon Martin ordeal is the recipient of what the Black Panthers would call street justice. And here's the story. Alabama police are trying to track down a mob that beat a man into critical condition, leaving their battered victim with the words, "Now that's justice for Trayvon." And I'm reading now here from a local network affiliate in Alabama, folks. So this isn't this is obviously a unbiased commentary. I mean, you know, they wouldn't want to paint the minorities in a negative light, but here's what it reads. Cops told WKRG in Mobile, Alabama, that Matthew Owens got into an argument with some kids playing basketball at a court in the city of Mobile on Saturday night. The kids left, and a group of some 20 adults arrived at Owens' front doorstep, armed with chairs, brass knuckles, pipes, and paint cans. The group, all African American, beat him into a bloody pulp before someone uttered the words, "Now that's justice for Trayvon." It was the scariest, and by the way, the victim was white, of course, as we just mentioned. And they weren't playing basketball on a court. They were playing basketball on the street, on the curb, near this guy's house. And you know how it can get when you got 20 thugs playing basketball, not telling how they were acting. He asked them to leave, basically. And, well, this is what he got in return. "It's one of the scariest things I've ever witnessed," Owen's sister, Ashley Parker, said. She said the perpetrators utilized anything they could get their hands on as weapons. Now, the good police officers, or the police chief in Mobile, Alabama, said they are not pursuing this as a hate crime. Definitely not a hate crime. 20 blacks on one white guy. Definitely not a hate crime. Now, a couple of days later, it came out that during this altercation, the guy might have used the N-word. Now, when this guy was getting beat by 20 blacks, he might have used the N-word, they say. And, of course, they throw that in there because, well, if he said that, that justified the murder sentence that they attempted to put on him. So why even bring that in there? I mean, you know, but that's what they're saying. And again, expect instances like this to increase as media and the Obama administration continue to issue anti-white narratives like they've done with the Trayvon Martin story, for instance, with reckless abandon. Again, this is another very popular story. Now, listen, if the guy, I'm just going to give the media the benefit of the doubt. Let's say that this white guy, I'll tell you what I'm going to say about it right after this. What if he said the dreaded N-word before they came and issued this beating with brass knuckles and pipes and paint cans and everything else? What if he did? I'm going to tell you what I think about that when we return, so stay tuned.
We'll return.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Okay, real quick, because I got a few more stories to hammer out this hour. We're making good time here. We're bouncing around. We're getting a lot of news in, but I got a couple of more before the end of this hour. Then we're going to shift gears for the last time this year, to Confederate History Month tribute hour. Anyway, so this guy, this white guy in Alabama, gets beaten with paint cans, brass knuckles, bats, sticks, fists, whatever they got. By a group of 20 blacks. Now, a couple of days after the event, they said, you know, he might have said the N-word at some point during the altercation. Let's just give the media the benefit of the doubt. Let's just say he went out there and in a total demented, racist rage and just started dropping the N-bomb left and right at this group of individuals. All right, first of all, as far as I'm concerned, you know, that language is inappropriate. I wouldn't use it. I don't associate with people that use it. And it's not anything that I approve of, but let's just say he did it. All right? That's still his right. All right? If he wants to be, if he wants to exhibit low vocabulary and low mental capacity and go out there and talk like that, then that's his right. In fact, that's his constitutionally protected right to go out there and say that. Now, does that warrant the beating? You know, this guy, at last story I read, is still in critical condition on a breathing machine in the hospital. Like I said, I don't even know if he did that. It came out a couple of days later that he may have said that. I don't know if he went out in a rage and did that anyway. I'm just saying, you know, take it to the worst possible scenario. Even if he had, does that justify 20 black people beating him? He might be dead by now, as far as I know. Does that warrant a death sentence? Of course not. Of course not. And for the media to even put that in there, to paint this guy as the perpetrator rather than the victim, is sick. It's absolutely sick. Anyway, and like I said, I just want to say it again to be clear. I don't know if that's what he did. I read one story that mentioned they said racial epithets were flying from both sides. Oh, yeah. So the 20 on one, the one guy was saying it, and the 20 were saying it back, and then they escalated it. But anyway, you know, the media would throw that in there to say that if he did it, basically he deserved it. You know, that's what they're getting at. I think that's the message they're trying to deliver, is that if this guy said the N-word, he deserved to die. And, of course, I vehemently disagree with that. Another man under attack this week, albeit thankfully not so viciously, Mel Gibson, still being demonized by the ADL. The ADL, our good friends, have released a new press release demonizing Mel Gibson. Basically what happened here, I'll break this down into a nutshell for the sake of brevity. Mel Gibson was trying to do this new movie, and he commissioned a man to write the script. The man wrote the script, and Mel Gibson said it was substandard and he wasn't going to use it. And basically, he didn't want to work with this guy anymore because the script was so bad. Well, the guy who was jaded, the guy who didn't get paid, he might have gotten paid, but the guy whose script didn't get picked up and made into a movie, went and leaked to the press that, you know what, not only did Mel decide not to do the movie, he made a lot of anti-Semitic statements. So, I mean, you can certainly trust a scorned ex-employee to tell the truth a day after he gets fired, I'm sure. But basically, this guy said that Mel Gibson went into an anti-Semitic rant. Of course, there's no proof of that. The day after he got fired, because Mel didn't like his script. But anyway, so the ADL has written this entire huge press release saying, oh, look here, Mel Gibson's done it again. You know, he's displaying this anti-Jewish animus that was carefully taught to him by his father, Hutton Gibson, who just so happens to be a very good friend of mine and a frequent guest here on the Political Cesspool radio program. And as I was saying, first of all, you know, God bless you, Mel. You're in good company. The ADL has attacked yours truly, as everyone knows, countless times over the years, sometimes employing utter fabrications to go along with their typical hyperbole. And, of course, as I mentioned, too, the Political Cesspool has long shared a friendship with Mel Gibson's father, Hutton Gibson, who has appeared as a guest on numerous occasions and to much media fanfare. But anyway, you can read more about that story. The best part about this story is that in keeping up with my trend this week of posting interesting video clips, some horrific, some enlightening, some inspirational, this one would fall under the inspirational side of that fence. And this post entitled ADL Attacks Mel Gibson Again, you can see a clip of Mel Gibson's famous Braveheart speech. A great speech, one of the great monologues in movie history, if I do say so myself. And we have the clip of Mel's Braveheart speech there for you at, you know it, thepoliticalcesspool.org. What other stories do I have for you? Let me see. We're getting very near the end. I didn't know if I was going to be able to cover all this, but it looks as though I will. George Zimmerman, getting back to that very quickly. He was grilled, absolutely grilled by the prosecution last week. Why his attorneys allowed this to occur, I'll never know. But basically, George Zimmerman took to the stand for his bond hearing. He has since been freed on bond. He posted bail. But he apologizes to Trayvon Martin's parents for what happened while not admitting guilt, just saying he was sorry that any of this ever happened, which is decent enough to say. Certainly nothing wrong with that. But the prosecution just grills him over this. And if you want to watch that clip, I'm really baiting everybody with video clips, because we all know people learn through different methods. Some people prefer the spoken word, and that we've got radio covered. Some people prefer to read their information, so that's why we got the website with all these text articles. But some people like to see it as well, and that's why we've got the videos and pictures and all that to complement our articles there at the website, which of course complements our radio program here every Saturday night. But so I got this video of Zimmerman getting grilled at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and as I watch it, it forced me to recall the thousands of news stories and all of these reports that intentionally lied by referring to George Zimmerman as a white man during the onset of the Trayvon Martin shooting. You watch this video and you look at George Zimmerman, and it's clear, ladies and gentlemen, that he's not white. He's Hispanic. If he's white, then I'm black. Now, that being said, George Zimmerman looks like a stand-up guy. He's well-spoken. He's articulate. He's polished. He's got a nice suit on. So, you know, frankly, even though he's not white, obviously, he still has my full support and the full support of this radio program in this case if the evidence continues to show that he acted in self-defense. All we want is for justice to be served, perhaps even to the Black Panthers, who continue to call for violence and vigilantism on national news stories everywhere. I mean, imagine that. I mean, they're calling out, they say, you know, we're going to kill your baby boy, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We talked about this last week, and we've got that video up there, too, at the cesspool site. But, you know, we want justice to be served. And again, we support George Zimmerman because I think he's on the right side of this thing. But it's just, I listened to all those stories trying to paint him as white. And it's just, doesn't matter if he was white or not. It's just not the truth. Hey, and that's the issue I have with it. All right, Pappy, quickly. You know, it's not your hour yet. You got to the studio early tonight.
You know, and James, I know we mentioned this before, but I'd just like to ask a question out there to La Raza one more time. Where are you, La Raza? Why don't you step up for your boy right here? We all know the answer to that. We know that you know, you're never gonna go against the blacks or the browns if there's somebody even remotely resembling a white person involved. You know, your control, La Raza, is a controlled organization, just like the NAACP and the Black Panthers. They're all controlled. And that's why they're not stepping up, George. James, they don't give a crap about Zimmerman, and that's why we're not hearing a thing about him.
Yeah, with regards to
the free attorney.
Yeah, that's right. Why? Yeah, where's the free attorney, the La Raza supplied attorney? Well, certainly he would have it if a white person had been the victim in this case. If the white person had been shot, you know, Zimmerman would be Hispanic. But because a black person shot, Zimmerman's white, according to the news. Anyway, hey, one last story that we posted this week. We pretty much recapped them all this hour. Louis Farrakhan issues a warning to whites. Unless you change, your end has come. But he actually gives pretty practical advice to white folks. And in doing so, he praises Pat Buchanan as a great man. Pretty interesting story. Check it out at our website, and while you're there, you can also revisit our most recent interview with Pat Buchanan, which occurred on this very show last October. We've got the clip of that interview there for you with the Louis Farrakhan story. All of that, everything we've covered this hour and more at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. Check it out. When we come back, we're wrapping up Confederate History Month 2012 with Eddie the Bombardier Miller and yours truly, James Edwards. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the rising sun.